Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Got a little Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman together. Presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN 2, and ESPN U. Brother Keyshawn, good Monday morning to you, my man. How are you?
Good to see you.
Starting already. Not even 50 seconds into the show.
No,
seating each other, aren't we?
I was trying to, I don't know, I'm like, is seat a word?
Well, it's a great part of the great song by Anthony Hamilton from his first album, Since I Seat You. So we're going to make it a word this morning.
How does that sound? Okay. Funny,
I heard somebody say seat. I was like, well, okay. I'm like, well, he's pretty smart, but damn.
Yeah, the person who said who shall remain nameless, Alan Yates, he's the one putting it out there when it comes to seat things.
I seat it for sure.
Certain things involving one of his favorite players in the NBA not getting the love he deserves, unlike Damian Lillard, who last night had a 71 burger and 13 three-pointers. We're going to get the conversation that he had not too long ago in terms of not getting his respect. But, Key, what is it about a guy that I don't know where to characterize him when it comes to Damian Lillard, but when you score 71 and 13 three-pointers, if that doesn't get anybody's attention, even though playing in Portland, it's never going to get anybody's attention.
He could have got the 14th, but it felt like to me he rushed it. Okay. It just was like one of them like fatigue set in, and he just was like, forget it. I'm going to throw it up if it goes in. He could have got to the 14th, though. To tie Klay Thompson, you know, you're playing in Portland, mm-hmm. and you don't get the respect because Portland hasn't necessarily gotten to the level that a team with the talent like him, you would expect to be in it every year. Because his talent is such that he should be able to wheel in people's minds, wheel his team to playoffs every single year just because he's Dame Lillard. I mean, he's averaging almost 37 points a game in the month of February. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot, right? I mean, that's like unheard of. And he's so good. I mean, he's just – I respect him. I wish he could be a Laker. I wish he would I wish he would go back on his word of the staying in Portland and just be like wake up one day
Why do you want to go back on his word for?
Because, man, that's my dude.
But,
man,
no, I get it because you wanted to be a Laker. I get that.
I wanted to go. Actually, I wanted him to win a championship.
Okay.
That's what I want him to do. He's too great, and I don't use great all the time, if you know me. I just don't. I'm not one to just say somebody's great just because they're dominating the game or something like that. But he's actually a great – look, think about it. He's going in the Hall of Fame because he'll probably never leave Portland. Mm-hmm. He's going in the Hall of Fame playing in Portland. His entire career. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, first ballot, the whole thing, but he will have played his entire career in Portland, and the chances of him winning a championship in Portland is probably on the odds makers list, probably very low, just because the destination of Portland isn't the same where you got teams like Golden State and Steph Curry that drafted well. Yep. It's different. It's San Francisco. It's just a little bit different. In big cities, a lot of players that are free agents, they want to go to big cities and play. For whatever weird reason, that is the allure for players to go to big cities. Small markets, even though Portland's not really a small market, people view it as one.
That's completely fair because here's something else to that. You mentioned Steph Curry and what they were able to build around him. Look what Milwaukee.
But it is San Francisco.
There's no doubt about that. I'm not talking about in terms of the cityscape when it comes to that. I'm talking about in terms of the organization. That if you're going to be in a place with Portland or in Milwaukee or in Golden State, not only do you have to draft well, but you better surround that guy like they did with Steph Curry and Klay in Golden State, what they've done with Giannis in Milwaukee. You better be able to surround him with guys that when they get there, they want to stay there. Or you better draft those guys that don't want to go anywhere else. And that's why last week in the Point Forward podcast, Damian Lillard said, and I quote, that they'll never give him credit for what he's done. He also added that they better pray that I don't win a championship in Portland. That kind of loyalty used to be something that was agreed upon or something that was celebrated more than ever before in modern times, in modern basketball, staying in Portland, or Bradley Beal staying in Washington. Nobody looks at that and says, man, you should do that, try to win a championship there. They're like, man, you need to go somewhere else, like everybody else has done, not named Steph Curry, not named Giannis in Milwaukee and Golden State.
Yeah, but then but they just haven't been able to put themselves in position. I mean, think about it. They drafted a guy like Greg Oden, right? What happened? He just fell apart.
He was brittle from the beginning, yeah.
So when you start to build a team, they hit on pay dirt with Dame Lillard. You know, C.J. McCollum did as much as he could. But in the end, you've got to be able to, from a front office standpoint, you've got to be able to identify certain players in certain situations, because you're never really going to be picking at the top of the draft just because you're going to always be one of those teams teetering somewhere in the middle. And because of that, you never really get an opportunity to get the top dogs. You know, again, it's just unfortunate for as great as he is to find himself in this situation. But, you know, Dame feels that Portland, he can do it. And it's not that he can't do it. I just don't think that he could do it by himself, because in the NBA, you need 2.5 to 3 type all-star guys, big timers, to win a championship.
Keyshawn, Johnson, Freddie coming together. And Keyshawn, Jaylen, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Damian Lillard, 71 points for the Portland Trail Blazers last night, including 41 at halftime. And he talked about what this performance not only means to him, but also the organization.
People know I have big performances, but they love these moments. You know, my teammates love these moments when it happens. I do the work, man. I do things the right way. I make sure I put my time in. I go out there and do it for the right reasons. And, you know, I think because so many people have witnessed what happens before these performances happen, they appreciate this, you know, as that type of art, you know, and that's why it means something to me.
Some guys love where they are, and they shouldn't be punished for that, because Damian Lillard is going to be loyal to the organization that drafted him. He wants to be a guy that can win a championship there, because that organization, that city, means a lot to him. And I know people punish him for it. I'm not saying you, Key, because I get it. I know if I'm a Lakers fan and I'm a Knicks fan, if I had my team to get a chance to get Damian Lillard, oh, hell yeah, I want them to go after him. But if he doesn't want to leave, it seems that more than ever before, that's a demerit, not a credit to the greatness that has been Damian Lillard playing in a city like that, playing for an organization like that.
Well, some players have that type of loyalty to an organization, and you feel a certain way because they essentially gave you the opportunity to showcase your skill set, and so you feel obligated to have to return that back to them. And you get caught up in that. And I don't think when you look at the history of the game or the era in which Dame is here, that he does not get the credit. He gets the credit for being as great as he's been. The problem is he hasn't gotten a chance to win a championship. And you know how that goes. You first of all, you're in a different market. You haven't won a championship. So you're not like on national television every single night, you know, whether it's a TNT or an ESPN or an ESPN and an ABC, then a TNT. Like, you're not in that situation. So people look at it and go, oh, he scored some points. Ah, they're not going to win anything. That's the way people view Portland in general, and they shouldn't. But that's just the reality of it.
And I think that's what goes back to what he said about not getting the respect, because you said it perfectly. When people aren't having you in that conversation, not in so much great players, but if you're not a championship contender or people don't believe you're ever going to win a championship, you're not giving them any reason to have a conversation about you. As great as Damian Lillard has been, and I use Bradley Beal as kind of the Eastern counterpart to him, the Washington Wizards. When he decided to stay at the Washington Wizards and not try to force his way out, he got destroyed on social media by people inside and outside of basketball, because they want that respect. They believe they've earned that respect when it comes to Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard. But if no one's talking about your team or talking about you in a championship way, and especially in his NBA career, Damian Lillard has only made the Western Conference Finals once. That's not trying to punish him, just stating what it is, back in 2019. And then it got waterboarded by the Golden State Warriors in 4 games in that Western Conference Finals. When you're not part of that or not being regarded as a championship contender, and you don't play for the Lakers or the Knicks or the Celtics or the 76ers, then you're not going to be part of that conversation. Well, I believe that's why he said about, you need to give me more respect and put more respect on my name.
Well, he's got all the respect on his name. That's not the issue. You think about a smaller market type team in the Memphis Grizzlies. The reason the Memphis Grizzlies are always in the conversation of being talked about as of right now.
As of right now.
Is because Ja, one, and two, they're in the mix, right?
They
play Golden State. They're in the mix. They got a hot team. They got some young studs. So people kind of, you know, boost them up a little bit, raise Ja up a little bit more, you know, and you say, well, how come that's not happening to Dame Lillard? Because Dame Lillard's team, not Dame, but the team is not in the mix. If they were in the mix like they were when they played Golden State in the year that they lost to Golden State, that conversation was being had, and then it went away because they didn't repeat the same performance 2 or 3 years in a row. They just kind of went away.
Completely fair. But either way, 71 is 71. Damian Lillard, only the eighth player in NBA history to score at least 70 points in the game. By the way, Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, both scoring 70 points this year for their teams.
You said what?
Only the eighth player in NBA history to score at least 70 points in the game. Only the eighth player.
Only the eighth player.
Wilt
do it like six times?
He probably did it six times a week back then. He averaged 50 points per game in 1 year. He probably did it like six times in a week. Greco and Queens at 888-ESPN. 888-729-3776. He wants to weigh in on Damian Lillard. Hey, Greco, welcome to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio.
Come on, man, my name, Freddie.
I said Keyshawn. Stop that.
No, you didn't.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greco. Save me from him.
Yeah, I just wanted to get back up here. It don't matter, K-Bob, how many joints Dame Lillard score. He could score Wilt Chamberlain numbers all day. He's just not going to get looked at like that in the West. Again, like you said, because it's the team. Yeah. Portland hasn't been anything since, you know what I'm saying, when they had, in the playoffs, that is, since they had, you know, Scottie Pippen, Rasheed Wallace, that little roster together when they was putting up playoff contended numbers. But other than that, you know, Dame Lillard, he's eye candy. He's something good to look at. But other than that, you know, during the playoffs, they, you know, Portland ain't going to do too much.
Which is the sad part about it is because, to Greco's point, Keyshawn, that he would have to score 71 points every game, Keyshawn, to make sure his team has a chance, Keyshawn.
you want to mess with me? You call me Keyshawn, but we'll play that back during the break so you can hear it.
Remember the last time you said this, and we played it back, and it was Keyshawn. Remember the
last
time?
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not.
I got Shannon Penn here that can back that up for me.
Come on, man.
Although Shannon's like, don't drag me in the middle of this. Don't do this to me. It's Keyshawn. I know your name by this time. Good Lord. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie coming in for the guys today on ESPN Radio and as well as ESPN2. Keep weighing in at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Key's favorite team, of course, are the Los Angeles Lakers. They pulled the biggest comeback of the season, beating Dallas, but the word pop could derail their renaissance. That's next.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
It's 23 of the most important games of my career for a regular season.
Lakers might have to go something like 17-6 in order to make up that gap. It's a major challenge ahead.
The way the West has looked, I can't dismiss the possibility that the Los Angeles Lakers could make some noise.
And I think as these pieces are better pieces than what they had before, I still see this team being, you know, an 8 seed who goes out or has an exit in the first round.
You're always going to give them a chance because they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's 23 of the most important games of my career for a regular season.
Lakers might have to go something like 17-6 in order to make up that gap. It's a major challenge ahead.
The way the West has looked, I can't dismiss the possibility that the Los Angeles Lakers could make some noise.
And I think as these pieces are better pieces than what they had before, I still see this team being, you know, an 8 seed who goes out or has an exit in the first round.
You're always going to give them a chance because they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, fresh for you on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as ESPN2. Before we get to the word pop that could alter or derail the Lakers' resurgence, we had a discussion about 5 minutes ago, brought up by one Keyshawn Johnson, that I said Keyshawn and not Keyshawn. Well, thanks to our wonderful crack staff behind the scenes, we're going to find exactly what was said. So Alan Yates hit it. Hey, Greco, welcome to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN. Hey, Greco, welcome to Keyshawn, J. On ESPN Radio. I got to come correct on that one.
You've been hanging around them folks too long, man.
You talking about them folks. You mean them folks.
Man, you've been hanging around them folks too long.
You've been around them folks more than corporate, me.
Them corporate ESPNers back in Bristol.
Man.
I got to.
Look at it this way. You are not getting me fired on my day off from Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
You're not doing that. I protect you. Don't worry. I got you.
I know you do. That might not even help me. There'll be two people walking in with jobs and one walking out with a job. And it's going to be you, Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
I'm not going to call you Keyshawn. I'm going to make sure from
now
on.
But see.
What's that?
If I said Frederick, you get all uptight on me.
It's a lot better saying Frederick than Keyshawn. Let's put it that way. Even though Frederick is not my name, as far as
do you get Frederick at all, Freddie?
I haven't gotten that, Alan, since I was a kid because my government name is Freddie Dwayne Coleman.
So if someone is really, really mad at you, are they going to hit you with the Frederick? Come over here.
They're going to hit me with the Frederick. It's going to be me and them. Let's put it that way. They try to hit me with the Frederick. Yeah, they try to do like Key got mad at Kay. You call me Frederick instead of Freddie. There's going to be a problem. Let's put it that way.
If Freddie was one of those dudes in my playing days, If Fred had something to say, he was like, oh, yeah, Key should have did this, should have that. And then I got to the podium, and I said, like Frederick said.
Yeah. But see, I would have been smart enough not to know exactly to do something like that, knowing that it could come back to haunt me in a situation where I couldn't speak for myself as long as that goes. And speaking for themselves, LeBron James, the Lakers, down by 27 points, the Dallas Mavericks, they come all the way back. We had a conversation yesterday. We had, like, a show meeting with Key, me and Nuno, and Nuno was giving him the business in terms of, hey, Lakers down by 27, and Key was like, man, it's early. Next thing you know, it's down to 21, then down to 8, and the Lakers get the win, but LeBron James sustaining a right foot injury. He said that he heard something pop when that happened in the third quarter. Check out what he said after the game.
It's been better, that's for sure, but definitely wasn't going to go to the locker room and not finish the game out tonight. Understood the importance of the game, and then the momentum that we had, I felt like we could, steal one after being down. But we monitor the next couple of days, see how it feels, and go from there.
He sounds tired, number one, because he exerted himself, but also not trying to play psychologist here, Key, but a little bit of concern in his voice, hoping that, man, I hope this does not derail what we know, what we have here to make a push in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I think so. And if he gets back on the court and they could hold things together, let's say he misses a handful of games, two, three games or something along those lines, and they could somehow steal a couple games, they're going to break some hearts come playoff time if they get in. I can almost assure you this is probably the best constructed roster that the Lakers have had since LeBron's tenure in Los Angeles, even though they won a championship in the bubble.
I hear you.
And when you think about LeBron, when he's had players around him, he's typically gone deep runs and into the playoffs. I'm not talking about freshman year early at Cleveland when he basically did everything as a 20-year-old to will his team to the championship and then they wind up losing. I'm just talking about when he's had players around him that can actually play and keep up with his level of play, he's gone on to win championships.
It's all going to matter for him if Anthony Davis continues to play like that, because not for nothing, no disrespect to LeBron James, but when Anthony Davis does what he did yesterday, 30 points and 15 rebounds, and Key, it wasn't so much about the numbers. It was the attitude, defensively, offensively, because we have not seen that Anthony Davis since the Bubble Olympics when they won the championship, when he played like that. when he stays healthy, because that's always a concern when you have older players, whether it's Anthony Davis or LeBron James. But if he's like that, even if LeBron's not there for two or three games, that guy will be more than enough to carry you, because we're talking about the top 75 player of all time when it comes to Anthony Davis.
But mind you, remember, they did all this without D'Lo on the floor. So D'Angelo wasn't on the floor. So you get him back with AD. Now you and everybody else, even if LeBron is missing, that will in height people's, you know, expectations of Anthony Davis and this team being able to hold it together until they can get LeBron back.
Anthony Davis looked like a guy that was tired of hearing the nickname Street Clothes, King Cotton. You can tell
King
that.
King Cotton, that's a new one.
Oh, no, Herm Edwards said that towards the end of last year when I was filling in. And that's when he went on this rant, because like you, Key, he's a Lakers fan. And he says, I love Anthony Davis, but I'm tired of him not being there because it seems like any little injury knocks him down. And he started calling him King Cotton on this show when I was filling in. He called him that one. That's a new one, too.
No, that's a new one to me. I never heard that one.
King Cotton, that's what he called him.
Street Clothes, I heard from Barkley.
Yeah, I heard that, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Reggie Miller said what he said a couple weeks ago. But look, Anthony Davis can't allow that sort of stuff to get in the way of him having the performance that he had last night. He's got to continue that. He's got to mentally know that he's a very important part of this team. And a lot of people, not just Laker fans, but people in general, look at him as the next guy in line.
Sure.
And if he wants to be the next guy in line and not have to go out and get somebody and bring them to L.A. and remove him from the situation, he's got to continue to play the way he played last night, despite with whoever he's going up against. I don't care who it is. He's got to be able to showcase his skill set and understand this is the reason the Lakers gave up the haul to get you in the first place.
Not for nothing, when he plays like that or anywhere near that, he's not a guardable guy in the NBA. He isn't, because he can do so many things inside and outside. So if he's not going to be King Cotton or Mr. Street Clothes, if he's doing that, whether LeBron is there or not, you can understand exactly why a lot of people feel that the Lakers will be that threat. Not if, but when they get into the playoffs in the Western Conference. Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman together on Keyshawn, J. Will & Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. The team that blew that lead were the Dallas Mavericks, being up 27. Kyrie hasn't been there that long. Is there already trouble in paradise? That's next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Woj reporting the Brooklyn Nets are trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks.
They still hope they can win, but the reality is you can't replace Kyrie Irving.
The Mavs have put themselves in a position to be the front runner in the Western Conference.
The drama has become too overwhelming.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
The divorce papers have been filed. Woj reporting the Brooklyn Nets are trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks.
They still hope they can win, but the reality is you can't replace Kyrie Irving. For all the drama he causes, he is an incredible player.
I think that the Mavs have put themselves in a position to be potentially the front runner in the Western Conference.
When you get into business with Kyrie, you also have to accept that at some point, things are going to break down.
We're not even 10 games into Kyrie,
it's already
his fault with the Dallas Mavericks.
That's why I'm laughing,
I know that's why you're laughing.
I'm like, come on, man. Now, now you get ready to blame this man. No, not you, but when you get in the business with Kyrie Irving,
I know
it's bound to break down. I'm like, come on, man, stop. The dude just got there. He's only played four games with Luka.
I know.
And here we go.
Oh, my goodness.
That's ridiculous.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman together on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN2. And I get it. I understand it. There's certain guys that no matter what, even when everything is supposed to be good, they want to find the bad in him. That's where we are. Well, not me and you. But that's where people are no matter what when it comes to Kyrie Irving. That being said, blowing a 27-point lead versus the Lakers, you can't put that all on Kyrie Irving because Jason Kidd sent a message to Mavericks head coach about what they need to do better, and he wasn't specifically talking about one Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I'm not the savior here. I'm not playing. I'm watching, just like you guys. And as us, as a team, we got to mature. And, you know, we got a lot of new bodies coming back, and we have to grow up if we want to win a championship. There's no young team that's ever won a championship, mentally or physically. And so just to see how we could respond, again, 2.5 quarters, we're playing at a high level on both ends, offensively and defensively. But what the Lakers just showed us is that it's not a race. It's not the rabbit who wins. It's the turtle. And they work the game. And that's where we have to get to. We have to get better at working the game, and we will.
Jason Kidd getting existential about what happened to Dallas Mavericks blowing that 27-point lead. But to me, Key, people will hear that and say, okay, he's talking about Kyrie because that's what they want to believe. To me, he was talking about Luka Doncic because that guy yesterday, once again, the inner bratty Luka Doncic showed up, beefing at referees, moaning and groaning and here and there. To me, that wasn't a message so much to the team. That was to say, hey, Luka, knock it off because no one is to blame for this by themselves. But you didn't help matters by constantly complaining and moaning, and we lose that 27-point lead.
Well, you know, you can certainly point to maybe he's talking to Kyrie, but when he uses the words young and growing up, because I'm like, Kyrie not young,
right.
First of all.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie's, you know, mm-hmm. He's been in the league for a minute now. And when you think about Luka, he is young. He's only been in the league a handful of years. And he is the guy who's supposed to be the guy.
Right.
He's supposed to be the savior. He's the, you know, can't miss prospect, MVP, candidate year in and year out, all of those sort of things. Oh, my God, I've never seen anything like this. He's a point guard, forward, center, all that old mess that all of a sudden people start talking about. So I kind of understand what Jason Kidd is saying. He's not the savior. He didn't use Luka's name.
No.
But it certainly sounds as though he's talking about Luka Doncic.
As much as we want to hear about Kyrie's you hate those old words, cancer, pariah in the locker room that people love to use when they don't like somebody and they don't believe that person can succeed or nobody wants that person to succeed. You hear that stuff all the time. But yet, a guy like Luka Doncic, Key, to your point, when you are that dude and you don't act like it, but people don't hold your feet to the fire, at a certain point, Jason Kidd's like, look, we can't continue to go down this road. If we're going to have any designs about re-signing Kyrie, because unless the Lakers don't re-sign, they can't get to Kyrie's max. Very few teams will have the ability to have up to $47 million in cap space to give a competing bid, which means you can max out over 4 years at over $201 million when it comes to Kyrie Irving. Now, Dallas can pay him $272 million over 5 years. But Kyrie seems to be the kind of guy that, as much as he loves playing with Luka right now, even though they're 1-3 together, if he keeps doing something like that and they're not going to be in a position to win a championship, his eyes will turn west to somewhere else. And I still think he has designs of going to Los Angeles Lakers and playing with that organization when it's all said and done.
Well, I think if you – I don't know with Phoenix. I'm assuming if Phoenix really wanted him, they could figure out how to move money around and get him back with Kevin Durant along with Book and put that thing together to make it work if that's the case. The Lakers, on the other hand, you know, certainly would be a fit because of the relationship with LeBron James and the fact that he could coexist with LeBron. They won a championship and played together. Both of them are a little bit older now, so you're not dealing with the immaturity of either one of them. Both of them mature. They understand what mm-hmm. happened in Cleveland, how things broke down. $70 million that you would be leaving behind. I don't know Kyrie's financial situation, but I can only guess that he's made a lot of money mm-hmm. in his career, both on and off the court. So, you know, you say, well, $70 million, Key. Well, yeah, it is. But when you really break it down in terms, and let's just use stupid numbers out there for whatever reason, let's say he's made, let's say he has $275 million in the bank. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just guessing.
I get
it. Just to have a conversation.
Sure.
In the end, if you cut that $70 million in half with the California taxes and all the other stuff, you know, they gonna hit him across his head. It's really only $30-something million he gonna really be making. We keep talking about the gross, not the net. The net is really the real number. What is he netting out of all of that $70 million? That's what he has to come to realization and realize. Okay, do I want to pass on making putting another $30+ million in my bank account to chase another championship? Based on your money, is probably a lot of people gonna make decisions based on what they've already done economically when you come to these situations as well.
I didn't think
you know
about
getting
that.
getting back into Los Angeles, for instance, into that type of marketplace will now allow some shoe company to come to him again. And because he doesn't have the Nike deal right now, but you never know how that might get revisited being back in L.A. Or you never know what Adidas might say, or Puma, or one of these shoe companies somewhere that want to, you know, put out a lot of money for a guy in Los Angeles so he could make up some of the money that he would potentially be losing if he was to go to a Laker team or a Phoenix team for that matter.
And remember this, in the state of Texas, there's no state income tax. You get to keep a lot more of your money in that state compared to going to Los Angeles, California.
Man, and do that.
I know, I hate to bring up bad memories here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
No, it's cool.
It's cool, but
Texas.
I know, but you keep more of your money, that can be a very good selling point to a lot of people.
But you saw that picture I sent yesterday?
I did.
With the snow caps? I mean, come on, man. It's just different.
That's to
play.
That's the L.A. dude in you. You're not Yellowstone. You're L.A. Stone. That's the L.A. in you when it comes to that, isn't it?
Snow caps, man. All I can do is tell you it's only one place in the United States you could do about five different things in one day, and that's in L.A.
And you laid them all out, and we all said, yep, check mark. When it came to that, John in Plano, Texas at 888-729-3776.
Oh, God, now we got a guy from Texas.
Hey, he wants to weigh in on Kyrie, and it may not be what you think. Big Bad John, what you got, my friend?
Thank you for taking the call. And Keyshawn, look, I just make matter-of-fact statements. It's not a love-hate, matter-of-fact, undeniable, therefore cannot be denied statement. Kyrie Irving, every place he has ever gone, has been a team disruptor. They're 1-3 since he's been on board with Luka. Clutch time. They've been fumbling the ball, and Luka's the man during clutch time. Mark my words, they're 1-3 already. Their one loss record will be worse with Kyrie Irving on board these next 20 or so games. Doncic is the clutch guy. But they've fumbled the ball. They've already lost three with Kyrie on board. Mark my words, their one loss record will be worse with him on board, and he's a team disruptor, period. That's just a matter-of-fact statement that cannot be denied. Thank you.
Well, John and Plano, remember the guy that fumbled the ball yesterday was Luka Doncic, not Kyrie Irving. That's a matter-of-fact statement. Just putting it out there. I guess John had nothing to say, Keyshawn.
No, I was laying out. I think he hung up.
That's okay. He wants to make matter-of-fact statements. The matter-of-fact statement was the guy that fumbled the ball and threw the ball away on the inbounds pass was Luka Doncic, not Kyrie Irving yesterday versus the Lakers.
Look, they have some growing up to do, some gelling to get done. I never thought in a 25-game or so relationship with these two that the Mavs was all of a sudden going to be at the top of the Western Conference just because. I never felt that way. And I know all the basketball aficionados and the people that know this game and played in the NBA and all that sort of stuff and cover it from a daily basis felt that they were going to be a certain way because you got two guys that can excel on the offensive end. But I also look at the defensive side of the ball. Where are they at? Where are they defensively? And I know Jason Kidd mentioned that they're playing decent on front and the back end of the hoop, but are they really? Are they really playing that way? Because when you have a 27-point lead and you surrender that and you wind up going down to the Lakers 111-108, that's not telling me you got a good defensive unit.
Yeah, when you blow a 27-point lead, the offense was not the only thing that was missing for the Dallas Mavericks. The Lakers comeback leading to Dallas, talking about their immaturity. Part of the Hot Ticket brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Keyshawn, Johnson, Freddie Coleman together on ESPN Radio and also ESPN2 and ESPNU. We switch gears to the Eastern Conference. And is it, if it's falling on Kyrie Irving already in Dallas, is it going to fall on James Harden if Philly does not get anywhere near the Eastern Conference Finals? That's next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. And don't forget about us on ESPN2 and ESPNU. He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Before we get to if the Sixers don't get out of the Eastern Conference semifinals, if they don't get the Eastern Conference finals, how this could fall on James Harden, Ishmael in Delaware has something to say about Kyrie at 888-SAY-ESPN. Ishmael, what you got?
What's up, Ish?
Hey, how you doing, Keyshawn, Freddie?
Good.
I'm calling to disagree with you, Freddie, about the Kyrie situation.
Okay.
If you do look back at it, every team that Kyrie's been on, there's always been some type of drama. Mm-hmm. So I agree with the young man that called last time.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm not disputing that drama has not followed Kyrie in previous situations. I called him correct when John and Plano said that Kyrie, we don't know what this is going to look like with Kyrie and Luka Doncic. We can't use a four-game sample and say that it's going to fall apart. But I also called and brought receipts to the table when Luka Doncic was the one that bumbled the pass yesterday. It wasn't Kyrie Irving. Luka Doncic was the one that was beefing and moaning at referees all yesterday while they blew a 27-point lead. I didn't see Kyrie Irving beefing and moaning at referees at all yesterday. And I'm just using yesterday as a sample. So if we're going to blame Kyrie for past misdeeds and transgressions, I'm with you on that one, whether it was Brooklyn, whether it was Cleveland, whether it was Boston. But to blame Kyrie yesterday, nah, that's why John in Plano, Texas got called out, because he was using the mistake and putting it on the wrong person, because Kyrie was not the only guy that helped to blow that 27-point lead by the Dallas Mavericks to the Lakers yesterday.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm not I don't know Kyrie. I mean, I've met Kyrie all of 10 minutes before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a small conversation and kept it moving. But I do.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
No sports.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And that's what I do know. If I'm educated in any manner, I'm educated in sports. And Kyrie is polarizing to a lot of people for whatever beliefs, how he handles things, mm-hmm. the way he goes about doing things. And I'll just go to the three teams that you mentioned. When you mentioned Cleveland, he did win a championship in Cleveland.
He certainly did.
He was a very important part of them winning the championship.
Did the game-winning shot over Steph Curry.
Okay. That fell apart. What is he supposed to do when he's being treated like a two-year-old by LeBron James at that particular time? Well documented. He was being treated a certain way.
He didn't like
it.
Yeah.
He didn't like it. So that was his feelings. That's okay. I don't like the way things are going. I want out. That's fine. He moves on to Boston. He's in Boston, and he realizes, you know what? I don't want to be in Boston. I thought I wanted to be here. I don't want to be here. What's wrong with a guy saying, okay, I thought I wanted to be here. I don't want to be here anymore. There's nothing wrong with that. And then when you switch it to Brooklyn, and you look at everything that went on in Brooklyn from the pre-pandemic to non-vaccination, when he thought you were going to be able to play not being vaccinated, and then his beliefs is, he didn't want people sticking syringes in his body to give him a vaccine, and he didn't believe in. That's his choice. I don't see that as it's always something. I don't look at it that way. Or the slaying of black men and women in the streets that he felt he wanted to take a step back from and gather his mind and his thoughts and how he felt It was bigger things on the horizon for him to be able to deliver to his community outside of basketball. Why is that such a problem? Then when a team decides that they don't want to pay you what you feel your value and your worth is, you tell them, man, just you know what, never mind. Because you want me to tie my contract to winning championships, but nobody else in the NBA is tying their contracts to that. Why would I want to be in that situation? That's all I'm saying. So I wanted to bring a little more context to the point game of Kyrie in his career. You got to follow it the right way and not just listen to a bunch of nothing and make your mind up. That's all I'm saying. When you, for the callers and the listeners on the road or on television that's paying attention to this, follow it for real. Don't just make your mind up based on some narrative that's being set that's out there.
By the way, Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman together in ESPN Radio. I will say this, on the other side of that, Kyrie has not helped himself at times, but he could have been a better teammate in situations. And the whole Boston thing, when he wanted out, he went scorched earth. And Jaylen Brown let it be known, said, look, take a good look at me. You're not going to talk to me that way and think that that's going to work. Kyrie Irving wants things the way he wants it. He's not any different than a lot of other people inside and outside of sports. To me, Key, this is just me spitballing. He wants it his way, and people don't want him to have it that way, or they feel that he should go about it differently.
Who doesn't want it that way as a professional athlete?
That's what I'm saying, but that's not even professional athlete-wise.
Well, you can say it any walk of life.
Right. If anybody had a chance to have that kind of stroke or have the ability to want to have that stroke on your side, you're going to take advantage of the opportunity. Not saying you're taking advantage of people. You want to take advantage of opportunity because that gives you power, that gives you status, that gives you circumstance. Kyrie Irving is not that different in terms of that. They just, a lot of people, I don't know, inside the media, outside the media, inside the NBA, outside the NBA, they don't like the way that he goes about it. They want him to be, if you're going to do that, then you should have to pay some dues. And Kyrie's like, look, my talent is enough of my dues paying. That's as far as I want to go.
What dues does he need to pay?
In terms of seniority, you mentioned how Luka's a younger player and Kyrie's the older player. When Jason Kidd talked about maturity, people don't believe that Kyrie has paid enough dues that he can act the way he does or speak out the way he does and have it benefit him. That's not me.
Guy's
I'm just going
the
by the narrative.
For 100 years, man.
but he's always, it's always been something like this, the 10 games he played at Duke, and then he leaves after 1 year. People say, well, he should have been there more for Duke. Hey, he was injured. He couldn't play.
Be there more for Duke for what?
The doctors told me he couldn't play because he was injured. Look,
yeah,
I'm just saying
what
the narrative is.
Why would I
want to
be there more for Duke?
I get it. Key, you are not on the same page here. I'm not being the adversary here. I'm not.
Yeah. I'm not attacking you. I'm just laughing at it because the fact that you said he needed to be there more for Duke. For what?
I get it. I understand that. But when it comes
to – be there for my damn family so I can get my money.
And that's what he's been able to do. Kyrie's the kind of person that at times he can be like fire. You can't get too close. But sometimes the fire's not there to burn you. But so many people always feel that Kyrie's there to burn somebody more than anything else.
I get the sign. I can't, though, Freddie.
I know.
I can't.
I like to look at all sides like you and not just base everything and just land on one side without having the full facts.
If Kyrie was a real ass and a thorn in my side, I would tell you.
Yeah, you would.
But it's not that deep.
It isn't. Can James Harden get the 76ers deeper in the playoffs than ever before? That's next.